Well, Jesus, we are so grateful that we get to be in your word again. I pray that this will be a clear word today and not too muddled with my brain. Help me to speak clearly, to think clearly as I share what we have today. Amen. We're in Exodus chapter 5, so the Pew Bibles there, we're on page 89. There will be some other verses as well. They'll pretty much be on the screen and available to look at, or if you're really fast and you know how to do sword drills, you can find it on the way. A lot of us prefer to read the scripture on our phones and things too, so you know that's always an option. I'm not going to judge you if you take your phone out and start navigating through that. I'm going to just assume you're in God's word and it all is good. So, thank you, Jesus. Who is the Lord is the title of this sermon. And it's something I think we all need to think about and contemplate. Who is the Lord in your life? What is your relationship with the Lord? Moses was kind of working through this. As we go through this whole concept, he was born, stuck in a little basket, put out there, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, decides that he wants to be a Hebrew, ends up trying to side with the Hebrews, murders a guy, and then flees for his life and spends 40 years, gets married, has a couple kids, and he's a shepherd for 40 years out in the wilderness that he gets to know pretty well because, frankly, God's going to send him there again. And God knows what preparation was necessary. He's preparing Moses continually. The relationship between Moses and the Lord is Moses is a reluctant servant. I don't know if any of us can relate to that, where we're kind of mostly in, would really want to be in and following him, but there's this peace in your mind that says, yeah, I know God can do that, but will he? I know God can end the pandemic. I know God can heal, but will he? And unless you get a direct word saying, I'm going to do this, then it's kind of hard to know. And even though Moses had gotten a number of direct words and he'd been given some signs, he's still a little bit reluctant as he goes forward. And I don't think he's 100% in yet. So a lot of the experiences that are going to take place over the next few chapters are not just for Pharaoh and not just for the Egyptians to see God's power and might, but it's also for the Israelites that have been in captivity and in slavery. It's also for Moses and Aaron and Miriam and all of them kind of need to see who God is. And as we look at who is the Lord, more often than not, the problem we have with that is most of us, whether we want to admit it or not, see ourselves as the Lord. I'm the person in charge of my own destiny. I'm the one that gets to determine what takes place and where I go and what I do and how I do it. And I'm the one that's in control of my life. And that's taught in schools and it's taught in society. And it's like you're always looking out for number one and take care of yourself and all of this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, except for I can't do anything in my own strength, but I can work and do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Exodus 5 and starting at verse 1. I'm going to kind of go through the entire chapter here and make comments as I go, and then we'll also look at some other passages that talk about whether we're considering ourselves more highly than we ought. And I think that's, for me, the emphasis I want to go to today. After Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. So, you know, King James Version, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. It's like it's a proclamation. God is giving this word. This word's not coming from Moses. It's not coming from Aaron. It's a word coming from God. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. He's pretty consistent with that through lots and lots of chapters, through lots of experiences. Pharaoh really believes that he is God. He set himself up as God, and most of us aren't willing to admit it. Pharaoh would have said, yeah, I'm the one that's in charge of the world. I'm God. I'm it. I'm the top person. Best of the best. Then they said, Moses and Aaron, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God." So they're kind of answering him, who's the Lord? They go, well, he's our God. He's the God of the Hebrews. And let us go and worship him, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. Moses and Aaron have an understanding of God that I don't think most Western Christians have, is that God is also a God of judgment. He's a God of love. We get that. We appreciate that. But he's also a God of judgment. And if we choose to disobey him, if we choose to deliberately ignore him, if we set ourselves or anything else above him, he sometimes has to give us reminders to bring us back to the position of relationship, position of understanding his authority. And so they're kind of feeling like, okay, a lot of people, maybe that's how they see their parents. You know, I've got to obey mom and dad because if I don't, I'm in trouble. Now, ideally, we obey mom and dad because we love them. We obey mom and dad because we've got relationship with them, and we know that they're the ones that care for us and take care of whatever we need, and that they're there for us in whatever extreme circumstances we create. My poor parents. I don't know how mom and dad did it. And then you've got God who looks down, and he's got a whole lot more kids than my parents had. And you know, he knows all of us individually, and he loves us anyway. He is there for us. And maybe we need to do things so that we don't get punished. There is that part. And I think this is where Moses and Aaron are kind of, we don't want to bring on the wrath of God. We don't think that's a good plan. Okay. But the king of Egypt said, that's this Pharaoh guy, same guy, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." Pharaoh's relationship with God was, I don't know him. I don't care about him. Don't care what he thinks. I'm in charge. You guys get back to work. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. So not only is he just telling them get back to work, but he's saying, I'm even going to make it harder for you. You got time to complain about this and you want to go worship your God? I'm going to give you something to cry about. Parents ever tell you that? You're no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they're crying out, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God." Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. So he's given this instruction to the people that are overseeing the slaves, the workers, and he's saying, just make them work harder. Give them extra work. Kick it in so that they have to do all of this, and then don't cut them any slack. My dad worked for a paper company, and he'd been working as a truck driver, a salesman, lots of different things. The sales job part of it was considered management, so he was no longer under any kind of union protection. He was out of the warehouse, he wasn't driving, and he was in a sales job. Well, while he's doing this sales job, the union decided to go on strike, so there was no truck drivers, there were no warehouse workers, and as management, he was told, you got to come in and do all this, and keep your sales up. Gather your own straw, but I'm not going to cut down on your quota. So my dad drove truck, and he worked in the warehouse on evening hours. We didn't get to see him much during that time. He worked really, really hard, and he tried his best to keep his sales up, but they slid a little bit. During that time, the union finally got what they wanted. They came back to work, Dad got a hernia and had to go into the hospital. His boss came and saw him in the hospital and says, you've got 1 month to get your numbers back up, your sales numbers. If you don't get them back up, you're fired. Tells him that in his hospital bed. Dad did his best. Didn't make it. Lost the job. You know, turned out to be a wonderful thing. Later on, he was able to get a better job and have union protection, and, you know, it all worked out. I mean, God's covering everything the whole time, but it's like this boss, by the way, that thought that, you know, he's going to go tell my dad what to do, he ended up losing his job about 2 months later because some company had bought the whole firm and just reorganized everything. We don't know what's going on with our relationship with each other sometimes. We think we're in charge of a relationship. You know, the boss thinks that he can control the workers. I'm seeing a lot of weirdness going on right now. Talked to somebody from State Patrol this week. They lost 72 officers because of the new COVID regulations. They lost over 150 about employees. Most of them were about half of them support staff and whatnot, but they're losing people all over the place. Because there's somebody that's decided they know better than the rest of the world, and they're going to make a decree, and they're going to make a mandate, and they're going to do all this, and it's like, what are the consequences of that? When Pharaoh says, I don't know God, I don't have to do what he says, I'm in charge. Goes back and he tells his leaders, his line crew, you know, make work harder for these people now. Don't listen to them. They're just lazy. Slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says. Thus says the Lord. Thus says Pharaoh. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you each day, just as when you had straw. And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? It's like, you know, you have to work twice as hard. Why aren't you keeping up? Tell the guy in the hospital bed, get your sales up. That this is real. I mean, we experience people in our lives that think that they control everything. And part of it is they don't have a relationship with God. They don't understand what their position is. Do we understand? We need to be careful. Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh. They somehow were able to get in there, add a direct line to him. Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we're told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. They went and appealed and hoped that they could turn this decision around, and it didn't work. Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, you're not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. Now Moses and Aaron are, you know, found out these people went to talk to Pharaoh. I wonder what he's going to do. They're not happy with Moses and Aaron now. May the Lord look on you and judge you. It's like, this is your fault. How many of us turn on our leaders when they try to do what they think is right, and it doesn't work out the way they thought it would, and it doesn't work out the way we wanted, and so we turn on them? You've seen it in the media and the press. It's like, you know, build up somebody and then they get elected to a position, and then tear them down. Why does that happen? It's our crazy nature as humans. We want things the way we want things. We want our way done. May the Lord look on you and judge you. You've made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. We'd rather things were back the way they used to be. Where's the status quo? That was better. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Put yourself in Moses and Aaron's shoes. You know, you're told by God, go and release the people. Talk to Pharaoh. But if you remember, too, God warned them, didn't he? A couple of times. You go and talk to the elders. They're going to listen to you. Go and talk to Pharaoh. He's not going to listen to you. This shouldn't come as a surprise then when Pharaoh says, no, forget it. What did come as a surprise was the Israelites kind of turning on him. It's like he thought he had the people behind him. And that turned out to not be the case too. Now Moses is kind of, I'm here all by myself. Nobody cares. Romans 12, chapter 3, and you know, I miss Romans 12, so we're going to just keep bringing it in whenever we can. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." I think Moses probably thought, even though God says Pharaoh's not going to listen to you, that maybe he would. And maybe it would just take the overseers going and chatting with Pharaoh, and then things would work out. They'd get to go and do their worship in the wilderness. I don't think Moses has a clue how much training and building up he needs, the people of Egypt need, the Hebrew people need. There's going to be a lot of lessons taught and learned over the next months for them, chapters for us. When we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and we don't have sober judgment, we don't have the understanding that God is God and I'm not God. God is the ultimate one that's going to make things come to fruition. I can make plans. God even encourages me to make plans. But if they don't turn out the way I want, God's still in control. If they do turn out the way I want, thank you, Lord. And so understanding what our position is and what God's position is, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Later on in Romans 12, Paul's telling the people in Rome, live in harmony with one another. Get along. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. In this story with Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh clearly is conceited. There's no question there. We can all point fingers at Pharaoh and say, well, I'm sure glad I'm not like him. But Moses and Aaron might have been a little bit conceited too, thinking they could go in there and things would work out better than God had told them it was going to. And then the other people that were having a heavier burden put on them, they're looking at their own self-interest too. It's like, hey, I want my way. I want things to go the way I want them to go. I deserve that. James 4:6 said, you know, this is little brother of Jesus. James says, he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. This is James who had gone to his brother Jesus and kind of thought he was crazy. He treated Jesus with contempt as they were growing up. It wasn't until after the resurrection that he realized who Jesus really was. Who was your Lord? James made his big brother Jesus his Lord. Knowing that this is someone that laid his life down for us, paid the price for our sins, and then made it possible for us to live a life as if we were perfect. In Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Even as Moses is reprimanded by the Israelites, he does go back to God. I appreciate that about Moses. His process is, he keeps going to God, but he's going to God and saying, why, Lord? Why aren't you doing things the way I want them? In our prayer life, how many of us go to God and give him advice on how he should live? what he should do and how he should think. Because we somehow think that we know best. But instead of looking to our own interests, there's something going on here. Moses is learning to understand that God's interest was he wants to get Pharaoh's attention. He wants to show his power so that when they do leave Egypt, everyone's going to know God's the one that did this. This wasn't Moses. This wasn't Aaron. This wasn't our own might. It wasn't because Pharaoh was a weak leader. It's because God is powerful and wonderful and awesome and great. And God's the one that did that. And then they'll follow God's lead. In Galatians 6, if anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Most of us find opportunity to deceive ourselves and think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Proverbs 26, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. We're going to see that with Pharaoh again and again. It's like, okay, he realizes God's God and almost repents, and then he goes back to, no, I'm not going to let I want to be in charge. It's probably a coincidence that those flies or those frogs disappeared. It's probably a coincidence that we're no longer under this plague that I ask you to pray to your God to release. But he keeps returning to his own folly. Do you see a person who's wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them. And then I'm going to close with this verse, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. God's not trying to hide from us what his plan is. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Problem for Pharaoh was the Lord wasn't his God, and he had no humility. Act justly and love mercy. Did he show any mercy at all? No, he doubled down. It's like, I'm going to make you lazy people work harder. As far as justice, it didn't matter what was right or wrong. He was God and he was in control. And that was Pharaoh's mentality. As far as Moses, he's learning to follow the Lord. He's learning to walk humbly with God. He's going to learn more about justice and mercy as the process continues. And then the Hebrew people and the Egyptians, they're all going through this learning process as well. We have so many examples in Scripture. I have examples in my own life, my parents and many others that I've grown up with that I knew to be godly people. To watch the mistakes they made and how they repented, to watch all of the different problems. I know relationally with myself, you know, my fits of wrath and anger and the rage that I used to have. And God can soften our hearts and train us and teach us to be who he wants us to be. New parents, it's like if you make mistakes, what's your first reaction? It's like, well, I'm in charge. You know, little four-year-old's going to ask you, why do I have to do that? And because I said so, sometimes is an appropriate answer. But then there's got to be something else. And in our relationship with our kids, whether we're teaching as teachers or parents or just meeting one another out on the streets, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with God, knowing that every one of us can make worse mistakes than whatever it is we're trying to correct right now. As a school teacher, oftentimes I'd forget that God was working on me and on these kids, and I'd think that things just had to go a certain way, and you get frustrated and sometimes angry about it's just not right. Now, I could justify myself when I got angry with administrators because they weren't doing anything right. Kind of like, you know, we can always say, if they would just listen to me, if they just do it this way. Whether you're talking about the ones that we're supposed to be overseeing or the ones that are overseeing us. And Moses is kind of caught in the middle here, isn't he? He's got God on one side and the people on the other side, and then there's this Pharaoh guy that shouldn't have any say at all, but he's kind of got some control. And How do we work all this out? Well, we walk humbly with God and recognize that God's the one that ultimately is going to fix everything. Do you know that God loves mercy more than we do? If we would be as merciful to others as God has been to us, we would be more merciful. There's no question in my mind that if we understood what justice is. Some of us want justice for everybody else and mercy for ourselves. God's a God of both justice and mercy. And He's willing to work those things to the good of those that love Him, those that are called according to His purpose. Lord, as we close this little section of Scripture and look forward to what's to come, I recognize, Lord, that I find myself sometimes being the Pharaoh figure in my own mind, thinking that I'm somehow in control or in charge of something, or I'm Moses, kind of reluctantly wanting to follow, but wondering, why aren't you doing it faster, or why aren't you doing it the way I want you to do it and when I want you to do it? Help me to walk humbly with you, Lord Jesus. Help me to know you in such a way that I can trust, recognizing that not only you are capable, but that you will bring everything into its proper place, that there's no doubt that we can trust you fully and wholly. Amen.